101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, Digi Meech. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance in the heart of beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Don't miss 101.7 The Truth, broadcasting live from Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration. Join us, community conversations, interviews with community leaders, and more. Thanks to Educators Credit Union, Morrison Coors, Tobacco Law, American Family Insurance, and Milwaukee College Prep for supporting the special community event. We'll see you at the Juneteenth Festival as we celebrate freedom, culture, education, and community together. Milwaukee, happy Tuesday. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We had some special guests earlier. We have some special guests joining us as well. First and foremost, I just want to again say happy birthday, Tupac Shakur. Today is officially Tupac's birthday. Shout out to all of my board members on, my fellow board members on the Tupac Amar Shakur Foundation, as well as my sister Setua Shakur and the entire Shakur family. Earlier, we played a clip with Pac talking to Ed Gordon about the environment and the state of the youth and things that they are given in order to make them successful. And we want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. Right now, we got some special guests in the building. Beat, Meech, who we got?
H1. Yeah.
Let's go.
What's up, my bro?
Boy H1 and Hook.
Wow.
Producer Don.
Come on, man.
What's going on?
I don't even think they understand what's happening right
now.
Don
the Jeweler.
Meech. I don't think they. First of all, welcome. It's good to see y'all.
Hey, Jazz.
Hey, Jazz.
I haven't seen y'all in like, it ain't been a decade, has it? No, it ain't been that long.
It's been
maybe, moving around.
Maybe
like
a decade.
Oh, yeah, I've seen you. Yeah. I haven't seen H1 in years.
Yeah, you be moving around, Jazz.
Man, I do. I'm home, though. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm excited to have y'all here. I think that is very important, especially for our generation, because a lot of the people that we work with that's coming up, especially the youth, they don't really understand the culture, how it started and where it comes from.
Right.
But most importantly, I think it's important that we have people who were in the industry, are in the industry, that these kids look up to, who they can learn from. So welcome. Let's hop right into it. H1, what's the word?
Man, cool, man. Working hard.
Yes,
trying to stay focused.
Yeah, you got a hook for Jazz.
Huh?
You got a hook for Jazz.
I made a hook for Jazz.
Okay.
Did, yeah.
Back in the day.
Yep. And it's still on YouTube too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
That's probably the only song that's still on.
You know who's going back then, with our residuals and all
and
our
the facts.
How YouTube being monetized and everything. Now we ain't know about all that back then.
Right.
We could have made some money. So H1, for those who are not familiar, who are you? Where do you come from? And how did you get to where you currently are?
Well, I am H1 the Hook, you know what I mean? Like, H1, my name stemmed from me playing basketball back in the day. My nickname was Handles. For everybody who know me from basketball or music, you know what I mean? Like, or the streets, but
he went to that other Southside school.
I went to Tech High School.
Yeah, I know he went to
I mean,
that.
I played ball.
Because your brother was at Bayview with me.
Yeah, my brother, yeah. My brother Perrell played at Bayview.
Yeah.
I went to Bayview.
Y'all stay over there.
But yeah, we Bayview kids.
Team Redcats, Don. You know what time it is.
Can we get security in here? I'm going to go down.
Yeah, I went to Tech, played basketball for Tech. You know what I mean? You know, well, I kind of grew up with a big family. You know what I'm saying? Pops died early, so I had to kind of like take that big brother role and really start working and hustling and getting some money and all of that. So my hoop dreams kind of faded away. I kind of put that into my brother. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But with the music, I always had a passion for it. My mom's was a choir director. I was growing up in the church, things like that. I used to always go to choir rehearsals, stuff like that. So music was in my DNA, it was in my blood.
Yes,
so basically I started rapping maybe in 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
Started taking it serious. Just rapping with my guys or whatever. Then I did a song with Baby Drew.
Hey, no.
It was called The Facts.
Shout
was.
Out to
that was
Baby
your first
Drew.
Song?
Right.
That's
first
song.
Well,
one of my first songs.
That's a great first song.
Man.
Yeah. And then I started linking up with my bro Vault. Cash Ball.
Shout out to Miller.
Shout out my
boys.
Hell, my Miller boys. You know what I'm saying? We had started it. You know what I'm saying? Making a little movement or whatever. We had a hit song called Show Up to Show Out.
Show up and show out.
It was like one of them city bangers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's back when Nitty and Rizzy and
yes.
Jacket Down and you
yes.
and
Yes.
We had a big movement back then, so it was like.
I was in there, too.
Everybody was there. It was like, you know what I mean? But that's where the like the foundation of the Jack music and the, like, Milwaukee always had its own style. We always, like, I want to credit myself for, like, and everybody, each one of y'all and everybody that was a part of that movement for, we lit a torch for Milwaukee.
Like, that's a fact.
Facts.
Like, it wasn't cool to be a rapper when we was rapping.
Sure,
that's a fact.
It wasn't cool to be a rapper. It was like, we was going on stage. I mean, you can, like, how is performances now? You couldn't pay a club to take a risk on a local artist.
No.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? So we had our nights with Timbuktu and
Quarters. Stonefly,
shout out to Monte Carlo. And
What was the spot on 43rd and Good Hope?
Live on North.
Oh, 43rd and Good Hope.
You talking about Nostalgias, too.
Nostalgias, yeah. Oh, I forgot about Nostalgias.
Yeah, but shout out to Live on North, though.
Yeah.
DJ Knowledge, he was one of the first people that really took.
Broke records.
Yeah. Knowledge and New Styles really was like trying to break artists back then.
Yeah.
L Bug.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they did,
DJs back then were trying to really break us into the. Into the industry.
Oh, Stretch for sure.
Yeah.
Stretch, yeah.
Yep.
So with that, that kind of gave me. Notoriety as far as music in the city or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was something I just wanted to keep, I kept wanting to do. And Vaughton them kind of was like in a space where they wanted to do more like some business stuff, like, you know what I'm saying, getting older, want to do more like it was a business ventures or whatever. And that was cool, so. But that's still my brother to this day, mm-hmm. Cash too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I linked up with Wavy.
Yeah.
And,
we just had them here last week. Yeah, shout out to Wavy Boy, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Wavy. We linked up with Wavy.
All y'all from Waco, right?
Yeah, we all from the same hood.
Well, no, he from Highland.
He from Highland. But
y'all from Waco.
We cousins. Yeah. It's like I know, Highland Park, Waco, Lavin Park, Hillside, all that's right there.
Yeah.
So all of us, like, we know each other. We grew up together playing at each other facilities or whatever. King Center, all of that, like meeting up, kicking it. So I've been branding them since I was a kid. They actually grew up, they house next door to my house.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was like, they was doing their thing with the band and whatever. They all play instruments. They all are really super talented and dope at producers. So they used to see me, and it was like, I was in passing because I was doing music with one of them. So I'm like, when I took time to actually go down there and listen to their basement and listen to some beats, I'm like, they really got it. They really talented. So long story fast, so I'm going to just sum it up. Like, Wavy went entered to a producer contest from Milwaukee. It was like a Remy Martin producer contest with Wyclef being the judge of the contest or whatever.
And, exactly.
He finished second place behind, it was a cat from the South Side, DJ, producer's name was like Pain, well, it wasn't Pain,
DJ.
One. It was, I can't think
probably
of his name.
Probably Kane One. Yeah, that's DJ the DJ slash producer.
It was Kane One.
Okay.
Shout out to Kane One. He out there in L.A. with Business Boy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He landed a placement on Rick Ross album, too.
Kane One, super
Kane
dope.
Kane One, yeah.
Super dope.
Shout out to him. But he won. Yeah. And Wavy came in second place, but Wavy ended up working with Wyclef.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And continuously working with Wyclef because Wyclef took a liking to Wavy.
Yeah.
And he's still working with him to this day. So, yeah, like, me and Dub in the basement, me and Wavy Boy in the basement is, like, we making hits or whatever, making placement records for different people. I'm writing for different artists or whatever. And we just was like, man, let's just shoot Wyclef a beat over with a hook on it and see if he bite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was already getting beats from Wavy. So we shot a hook over there with the beat on it. And I remember like yesterday, he called back like, man, who was the dude on the hook? He was like, that's my guy, H1. He was like, man, he sounded like a Zoe.
Yeah.
And I would put myself in my mind frame when I write. I try to write for other people. So
yeah.
I had to tap into my Caribbean bag or Jamaican bag or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I made the song and I sounded like a real roster, like a Jamaican.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, we're going to keep you on the hook.
It's crazy because, well, today's generation, they don't understand when you say H1 a hook. Like, back then, to have someone
doing your hooks
on the hook,
man.
The hook is the bread and butter, other than the beat of the song.
Like, the beat, is the driving force, but the hook catchy, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I was taught that. You know what I mean? Like, I always, like, I was a, like, my biggest, I was a biggest fan of Nate Dogg growing up.
Yeah.
CeeLo Green. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I'm, everybody, when they compare me to these people, I, it gave me chills because I was like, I grew up, and them was the two people that I really liked the most. You know what I mean? So.
That's what's up.
Yeah, like I said, Wyclef said, but we're going to fly y'all out to Jersey, and we're going to come out to my mansion, and we're going to talk about things. So we flew out, went to Wyclef Mansion Super Bowl weekend. We out there with the Giants, the president of Haiti, all of us. We in a mansion. Wyclef got the big mansion. He said, man, I'm going to keep you on the song, bro. And I nailed a placement on his album, Carnival 3, his comeback album.
Let's go. Let's go.
And I think that's dope because I got a lot of features. I done paid for features. Yeah. I've had joint features from other industry artists.
Yeah.
But how many people you could say have featured on a industry, legendary industry artist album?
Yes.
Like I'm really on it. Like,
and but to your point though, you put in the work. Like you've done so much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He failed on everybody. Like, hook. Oh, man. Yes. Like,
I was doing hooks for everybody. I mean, I done worked with every Milwaukee artist there is.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean? From the majors to the L Books.
To the Jazzies.
Yep.
Jazzies.
Yeah.
Man, some of the Jacket Downs, the Nitties. I work with everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go to the same label as the Loonies and the Chops.
Yeah. I'm going to get to that. And then, but it was just like my situation with Wavy, and it was like, you know what I mean? It was like a turning point in my career where I'm like, I'm really learning the business side of the music industry. Yep. Cause like Wyclef put us in a position to like really learn the industry for what it was. He was the first person that told us that the females was gonna take over.
Yeah,
he told us beforehand because we used to write placement records for artists. So we was writing for different artists, writing for Hulu and Netflix and all of this, like trying to land placements or whatever. And he kept telling us like, man, put the work into the females. The females coming up, and. He wasn't lying about that because like we see right now the Cardis of the world and the Sexy Reds and like they running the industry.
Shout out to the chat. DVJ73 said was just listening to that Carnival album by Wyclef. Slept on, no skips. RIP John Forte.
Yeah,
that's a fire album. We gotta go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. We got producer Don and H1 and Hook in the building. 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler Digi Meach. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of beautiful downtown Milwaukee Beach. It's Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday, what's
Taco
the word?
Taco Tuesday.
What's the word, Truth Nation? We still want to hear from y'all. We still got the topic going on. Do the youth wear their ski masks because they are insecure or they hide from crimes or ops or et cetera? Tap in with us 833-212-1017. You know, we got special guests in the building. We were here with H1 and Hook.
What's the question of the day?
Wait.
So that question?
You can't ski.
Do the youth wear their ski mask because they're insecure or they hide from their ops?
Okay. You can introduce me. But I want to answer that. I want to answer that too.
Y'all definitely going to answer that. So, you know, you Truth Nation 833-212-1017. Tap in with us. Like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. We got the poll going on there so y'all can answer that. Vote for whatever y'all think y'all answer is. We are with H1 The Hook. We got legendary producer Don the Jeweler in the building. Got a lot of hits under his belt.
Legendary.
You know what I mean?
Crazy.
Come on, man. You know how you know if they don't give it to you.
We gonna
you know
what I mean? Yeah,
thank you. I mean, you know.
I know what you did.
Anytime I get to sit down with the female goat, the greatest rapper in Milwaukee history.
Yeah, man. I don't know where it started, that jazz. They don't know.
Everybody out here gonna come gas jazz.
When I was running my record label back in the day, when I was running Man Up, I used to be like, oh, that nigga Jazzy is. She cold.
Thank you. And it's crazy because don't nobody even know no more. And I made it that way, but my youth be like, you used the what? You did what, Miss Jazz? rap.
She's so cold.
Thank you.
I had a female artist named Shay K, and she looked up to you.
That's dope.
And I was always in awe of you.
So and you know what? I appreciate it because every time I see you, you always show love.
Yeah.
Thank you. Same here. Yeah. But we ain't talking about me. We talking about you. You trying to be humble. Yeah, no, yeah. We ain't gonna be humble on here.
I'm trying to get my Carl Anthony Towns on.
tell her what you did, some records you produced, Don.
Records I produced. Why am I drawing a blank right now? I ain't producing. Because
it's too
man.
Many records.
I ain't produced nothing, man.
Well,
I'll tell you who I've worked with. Yana, Pape, Maya P, H1 the Hook, Party of Four, J Kane, Charlie Clips is my artist.
Chicken.
Come on now.
Looney, Chop.
Everybody.
We go back further though.
Yeah.
Ray Rizzy.
Yeah.
Harvey Scales is my artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray Nitty, Munch, I always say my role is really artist development. I'm the kingmaker.
Yeah.
Right, I could take an artist from nothing and make them into something.
Yep.
And that, you know, especially in the last 3 years, like every artist I touched and got signed.
Yeah.
So I'm blessed to work with that talent and to be able to cultivate that talent. So.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I told you I was gonna get my Carl Anthony Towns.
It's okay. Your history, as far as your resume, is impeccable as far as music. But I know that you are an intellect as well. And I am very, very curious to hear your input on today's topic. We've had extensive conversations mm-hmm. about community, about the youth, about all of the above.
Okay.
And again, what we're doing is we're trying to, like where I said earlier, we're the TTs and uncles now.
Right.
In the community. Oh, we the sure. ones in a backyard playing space, talking to the kids, yeah. you know. And they look up to us. So it is important that they hear from us what it is that, you know, the advice, the guidance. So the topic today is the environment. How can we expect for the youth to be successful when the environment they're in doesn't have anything, it's not giving them any opportunities? Why are they running around in masks and hoodies in 90 degree weather? Are they hiding from surviving, or are they hiding because they're trying to hide away from the world due to insecurities? Are they mimicking their favorite artists and what they see? And who's responsible for this?
Well, okay. So let's start with the mask thing, right? So we had COVID happen, and, you know, it was a common thing to wear a mask.
Yep.
But when I was a kid, I grew up on comic books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a mask was cool.
Yeah.
Right? That's a superhero. Different perspective.
Yeah. Exactly. It's superhero. Yeah. And you, the power that you get from somebody not knowing your identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, even without it being, you know, a comic book thing, oh, I want to be a superhero.
Yeah.
It's still, like in there,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? And subconsciously, there's a power to that. And so I don't think they're necessarily doing it to be malicious or trying to be, you know, that be bad.
It's the culture.
It's the culture. And it's also, you know, it's a psychological thing.
Yeah.
So especially the full poof shiesty mask mm-hmm. when you pull up. Mm-hmm. Like that, it's a psychological thing.
Yeah.
Well, me personally, I think that it is a part of the culture. I mean, now it's like kind of embedded in the culture because of a lot of hip hop artists have pushed that and like it's part of fashion now. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying people swag some mask out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. to the point of wearing right. outfits or whatever. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my boy Party at Four. He make them.
And they really be in fashion really shows, dope, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as the youth with the mask on and everything like that, like, I remember one, this is probably about 2 weeks ago, I seen three young boys in the gas station. They were standing outside the front of the gas station. They had walked up or whatever. And I was on the phone, but I had to get out to pump my gas. So I got out, walked past the three little gentlemen. They probably were in their 15 and younger, mm-hmm. maybe. But all three of them had masks on, so I walked past them. But it was like around like 9 o'clock. It was dark.
Yeah.
So it was a couple of ladies was all trying to get out and get gas, but they were scared to get out
yeah.
because they seen the boys with the mask on. So I said something to them, like, bro. I'm like, little bro, y'all need to take the mask off. Y'all are scaring people, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's up? What y'all waiting on something or something? What y'all need? Y'all need something at the store or something?
Yeah.
So one of the little guys took his mask and he said, oh, gee. He said, I ain't gonna lie. We trying to get some food. I said, we only got the mask on because it's embarrassing.
Mm.
That killed me. I'm like, dang. So I'm like,
come on.
In my mind, because where I grew up at, you got a mask on, you own one.
Yeah.
COVID brought that in, but when before COVID, you got a ski mask on, you
yeah.
own one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and now this day and age, everybody on defense, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so the thing is, like, you, if I see you, it's me or you.
Yeah.
To some people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this, like the old saying. Guns don't kill people. People with guns kill people.
That's right. Yep.
So it's like, if you see a kid out there with a mask on 9 times out of 10, the thing is, in your mind, you're going to think that he on one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah. it's like, but he might not be on one. But yeah. if you're going to pump your gas jazz and this boy following you,
yeah.
and you can't hear what he's saying,
yeah.
and he asking you for something, you got your gun on you,
yeah.
and then you might fire on this kid. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? It's like, and they just trying to get some food. So I got him some food. Gave him a speech like, bro, about how I felt about the mask.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we try to tell these youth, we as elders and as OGs or big homies or unk or whatever y'all want to call, you know what I'm saying, the males, the older males in Milwaukee or anywhere, we got to learn that we can't talk down on these youth.
Yeah.
We can't talk down on them. Like, you got to talk to them, kind of like, and I ain't saying you got to be their best friend because respect is respect, but
right.
it's like a lot of these youth, dog. Like, I grew up in the 90s. I'm an 80s baby. I grew up in the 90s. I watched a lot of fathers get took away from their homes early.
Yeah.
With
mass incarceration,
yep. truthful sentencing,
yep.
like getting through away, but like, you know, y'all know what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
They planning in
Football
the community.
Numbers. Yeah.
And then we took it and ran with it because nothing plus nothing equals nothing. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
Dire straits, so people going to do whatever we got to do to get some money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that locked away a lot of older men. So you leave a lot of these households with single family households with young moms and, you know, moms raising kids, 5, 6 kids, you know what I mean? Like, so now they don't respect the elder men. It's just they don't understand how to talk to
them.
How to conversate
yeah.
with them. And we look at
them
because
they
like,
never been around.
And then yep. now you got a lot of people that getting released from jail and they want to talk down on them. Like,
yeah.
Can't talk down them. You got to talk to them,
talk
bro.
To
get to
them.
Understand them. Get yeah. to know them. You know what I mean? Like, drop real jewels and really get to know these kids.
Ask questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, what I said.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Like, we think
as
elder men, we think we just, like, we got to rah-rah and stick our chest out all
yeah.
the time. And, like, we got to be a authority. But at the end of the day, it's like, we asking. We actually are doing the same thing that the police do sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like the police give off a bravado mm-hmm. about themselves
yeah.
where young men don't want to talk to the police.
Yeah.
And now elder men are starting to give off that same bravado. But it's like, it's to the point where, like, I know a lot of guys who, like, they, like, fear young dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because young dudes don't know you. Like,
yeah.
I don't know H1. I don't know nothing about H1.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Back, yeah, they don't care.
Yeah,
yeah,
back then, you
then
heard
it,
about somebody
exactly.
like, man, I ain't been a man. That's, you don't
that's
know
right.
dude.
Yeah.
But now it's like,
so, man, I don't so, care about
so, let me ask you. Let me ask you, right? You said, you know, back in the day when you saw somebody with a mask, we thought they was on one, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they know that?
Mm.
No, but I do think they know.
The stigma was removed from wearing a mask for them.
It was
yeah.
flipped.
It was flipped.
Yeah. yeah.
Like right? It was acceptable.
It was acceptable.
Wear
exactly.
a mask everywhere
right.
you go.
Right.
Everywhere you
yeah.
go.
Exactly.
Right.
We got a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, this is the caller, and y'all having a great conversation. And to your point, Jazz, you guys are auntie and uncle, and as a grandparent now of smaller children who are fifth grade and down, there is a lot of things that they have to take advantage of that you guys don't have. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times information, which Brother Hook, just the way that you carried yourself in front of those young men might encourage them to remember what you said at some point. Mm-hmm. That, you know, when you're wearing a mask, you taught them without even going into a long story of what it used to mean or, you know, back in your day, which, you know, even at my age, I remember not wanting to hear that. And exactly. I grew up in the Jerry Curl generation.
Exactly.
So I graduated from high school in the later 80s. So okay. I think I've held on to a great thing, and my grandkids call me Cool Papa because I remember every age that I was, and that's what I encourage all elders to do. A story that I'll tell y'all real quick. I had an uncle who, when kids began wearing their pants down low, he grew up in the 70s. He became an adult in the 70s. If y'all have ever seen Soul Train, them dudes was wearing crop tops and bell-bottom pants and high-heel shoes. But he had forgotten that by the time he was in his 50s criticizing them. So I went and got a photo album and showed them their great uncle when he was their age. And we all had a real good laugh because it was a picture of me with Soul Glow, Adidas suit, which has came back for a third or fourth time, a pants leg rolled up in a Kango. So if you remember when you were their age, you'll be able to not only do what you did, Brother Hook, carry yourself before them like a superhero, because superheroes are actually kind, strong people. And that's what all y'all guys are. I'm ecstatic to turn your show on every time I do it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, Digi Meech. We are live and direct. We got some special guests in the building. H1 A Hook.
Yeah.
Legendary producer. Legendary producer Don. Listen, H1. Yeah. You grew up Highland Park, Waco, went through what you went through, managed to fly out to Haiti, work with Wyclef, came back home, and now you're also helping the youth as a football coach.
Yeah.
How did you get to that point, and how important is it for people who go out and bring their resources back? We talk about this all the time because I was saying earlier, I leave and I always find myself back home because I feel obligated and responsible to bring what it's like survivor's guilt.
Right.
You know, ooh, whatever it is that I have to bring it back home, but I used to bring it back for the adults. Now I bring it back for the youth. Mm. How important is it to use that as a form of giving back?
Well, me personally, I was at a point in my career where it was like I had just been on like a 10-year stretch. I was done with Wavy. I'm not done with Wavy, but I had moved on from what Wavy. I had signed with Blackout, and immediately hit the ground running. I was on tour for about 3-4 years straight, on tour with Kevin Gates and on a tour with QC. And when I came home, I was like my youngest son at that time. I had kind of been feeling like I was like absent, like, yeah, not neglecting him. Like, yeah, but you know, when we work you hard, yes, I'm on the road a lot. It's like
a sacrifice.
It's a lot of FaceTime and a lot of phone calls. It's not so much me interacting. Yeah. So when I said I'm gonna take time out and really like give myself a year to kind of like to just unwind with my son.
Yeah.
Like my oldest son go to college in Tennessee, and my youngest son, he just like, dad, like he wanna start sports. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna take interest in what he like doing, and I'm gonna go out there with him, make sure, cause I grew up with sports. And I always feel like sports was like a outlet for kids, mm-hmm, like to learn like a multitude of different things, like sportsmanship, teamwork, hard work, dedication. It works on your like your motivational skills, like everything that you can, anything you can think of where sports is, it instills like great value in kids.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And discipline.
Discipline, yep, as well. So
that's right.
I'm out there with him, and this is first year playing football. So I'm a hands-on dad. So anything that my kids want to do, I'm going to be a part of. I trust coaches. I trust parents with my kid, but I got to be there.
That's right.
If I can, I'm going to be there as much as I can be as a parent. And shout out to Coach Korn. His team that my son was on is the Milwaukee Chosen Ones. Mm-hmm. And they're part of a football league, NCSL. It's a football league in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And they play at Lincoln Park.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturdays in the fall. And like I said, I took a liking to what they were doing and whatever, and I volunteered as a coach, as assistant coach.
Key word, volunteered.
Volunteered, yeah. No pay, no nothing. And one of the parents was like, cause like when the kids see me, they can't believe, they know my music, but they couldn't believe it was me. It's like I'm out there on the field every day.
Yeah.
And their parents is like, that's the dude that seen Roller Coaster. That's the dude that seen Dog Food. That's like, they doing that.
Yeah.
They like, hey, what you doing out here?
Yeah.
Like I can't be out there with my kids.
Y'all.
Like,
yeah. Man, like, just,
see? No. Making like, it normal.
Yeah, they thought you was going to sing at halftime.
Right. So it's like, I'm out there with jogging pants on. You know what I mean? I'm out there with the cleats on, out there with the kids, mm-hmm. for real. Like, I'm out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it went from that to one parent had came to me. She was like, man, she's like, H1, you got the light and you can bring more to the table. Because a lot of these kids, man, with these sports, football is a really expensive sport. Man, we still keep it 100. So it's like, but with me with having my resources, me knowing the movers and shakers of Milwaukee, because I done dealt with a lot of nightclub owners and a lot of people who are in business or whatever. My influence meant a lot, you know what I'm saying, to the team, because I can go out and help these kids get these things they need.
Get like, some sponsors and
get
stuff.
Get some sponsors, the whole nine. So, and I'm going to shout out the lady told me that. She's like, use your platform for good. And I always try to, but I remember she put a battery in my back. And I had to prove how much I can really, you know what I mean? Like, I took an obligation to really prove to them
that you can use
that
it
I can
good.
Really do it for good. Yep. You know what I mean? So, shout out to Sean at D&D's. He was one of my sponsors. Shout out to Music by Manny. He was one of my big sponsors, too.
Manny, man.
Yeah, Manny.
Another
Manny,
DJ.
Yeah.
One of my DJs, man. He came through with me. Shout out to my boys, man. And shout out to Pooh, them over at Hookahs. Like they all gave donations to the team.
Yeah,
man. I was able to get helmets, 200. I was able to get helmets for kids.
Yeah.
Jerseys, everything, mouthpieces, the whole nine. So
man, I just went shopping with you and little H2.
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 Yeah, man. But yeah, they ran me crazy out there for about two. I'm actually like not coaching right now. I'm taking a back seat, but that last year when I just coached, I made sure I was like really, really hands on, so I can really try to build a foundation for the league and like with the team that my son played for. And man, them kids it's amazing working with them kids and actually seeing like, because a lot of I was out there and it was zero fathers out there. It was all women.
That's what I was
it's
gonna
like,
say.
Like football mom, this football on, mom, that. Like,
that's what I was gonna say. Just it being,
and you could tell the men not around from the kids' behavior patterns.
Yeah.
It's like just you being a father.
All like I'm not saying that. I'm not a person to think this is all like it's like emotional tendencies come from females. I ain't gonna say that, but
you can see the behavior.
You can see the behavior with these kids.
With
like,
these kids coming from their mama.
It's like. And they pop them like females, like pop them like I'm like bro
attitude,
problems, like
you know,
and it's like you gotta take your time. Like a lot of them kids don't got fathers in their household, so it's like I used to embrace that, man. Even after the games, take them kids to go get pizzas or whatever, take them to go to the jump around, the little jump, whatever, rock and jump, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I go, man, I'm spending
sky zone.
I love the kids though, so whatever my son is into, I'm into, but. Yeah, it was a big thing. Yeah, for me to go out there, it was a real humbling experience, and I really took a lot from that.
So Don, do you think that? Well, I'm gonna ask you. It's a rhetorical question, but I want to know your thoughts. How important is it for you men to be out there to take time out to sacrifice to? Because what I hear you saying, H1, is that you dismissed ego, pride, everything. Based off of status.
Yeah.
and you took a chance by going out in the general public, getting resources, and those resources, that dollar may have actually saved a little boy from being in the streets.
Man,
you know
real.
What I'm saying?
For
How
real.
Important is that?
So I'll tell you the story I told H2, right? I played all four sports in high school and played the saxophone. I was first chair All-State, so I had to be at all the city recitals.
Yeah.
And I never had anybody come to any of my games or recitals.
Yep.
Right? It built the arrogant Don that I was when I, you know, in my 20s. Was that chip was built because nobody was there.
Yeah.
And you don't get to be healthy without that backbone and that nurturing.
Absolutely.
Right? I was there for all my son's games. I coached his basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, at football, I'm a football freak.
Yeah.
I'm a quarterback. Right. And so if I know that you don't know more about the game than I do, then I can't be on the field with you because we're gonna butt heads.
Yeah.
And so I stayed away from the coaching of his football team. It's very, very important for a parent to be there, especially fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my daughter plays softball. My daughter was my ex-wife moved to San Antonio, and my daughter played softball in Texas.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know anything about Texas,
but
high school sports is big.
Right,
it's bigger than
real big.
than real sports, right? My daughter led all of southeastern Texas in stolen bases.
No,
she's going to University of Kentucky in the fall.
Let's go.
And so, like, you know, as much as I could get to Texas, which, you know, it was rough for a couple of years, but I, you know, this last year I was there.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
Man,
and I'm about
tell
to spend
about
a lot
it.
More money.
Tell me about it. My daughter go to Notre Dame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I already know what it is.
I'm looking at the campus and I'm having like hives, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, how am I going?
But you seen
but she got half a scholarship, so that's good.
Yeah.
So,
but you seen the look on his face when you told him that, though, because it's something I was already drilling into him. Like,
yeah.
Like, the youth don't understand the value of having a parent, a father there.
That comes.
Like, it's like they now it's normal for them not to have a man in the household.
Yeah.
But
it's, so
do women make that a thing?
Yes. Like, and it's and I hate to say, I hate doing that because I don't like the. Female. I don't like to do the
shades of slick talk with scales conversation.
No, he'll get started, Don. But I hate to do the male and female thing. But a lot of parents, I've seen a lot of parents even come to me, like female parents as a coach, his dad come to the games, his dad come to the practices to come pick him up. But any decisions got to go through me.
Yeah,
and then he would tell me a story about how. The father would come to me and tell me a story about how he's not being able to
make decisions,
right?
Right.
Or help out, and is there something I can do?
Because he withholding information.
Myself
or something like that.
A lot of times in between the middle of two parents, like making negotiations, so this kid can be able to play football. It's like the simplest thing. It's like, come on, y'all.
They don't
like,
put the youth first.
Yeah,
the
and
child
it's like,
first.
And when you don't put the child first, that's when we get these child out here misguided.
Yeah,
and they really emotional and they not able to, you know what I'm saying, to talk to anybody because it's like
it's so much back and forth.
Yeah,
in the
it's bickering and it's pull and tug everywhere, and they not being able to express themselves emotionally. And then when they live with one parent, the parent they live with, they gonna side with that one.
Yep,
they got to. And it's like. Cause you don't get nothing if you don't.
Yeah,
it's like you don't get.
I can't go home.
Yeah,
like,
and those rules are different than over here, and they got to go back and forth
I'm experiencing
and relearn
that.
And unlearn.
I don't stay with none of my kids stay with me. I got four, so it's like
it's
like everybody got different mama.
Yeah,
dealing with everybody.
I'm pretty sure at one point everybody know went through something that like
You
got a child with with the other parent, but it's like you would to see the if, when you're not, it's not your kid,
yeah,
and you watching it from being yeah. just a spectator on the. It's a lot different. Like,
I understand more.
Yeah, yeah, like you see this, you see really what kind of how detrimental it is to a child in the household.
We got to take our last break of the day. Do not touch that dial. We got H1 and Hook and Don, producer Don in the building, 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler Digi Meech. We are live and direct. We got special guests in the building. Meech,
what's the word? Having good conversations during the break. We should bring them on the air.
Yes, we should. Yeah, what we talking about, Meech? Who we got in the building?
H1 The Hook, yep. Legendary producer Don the Jeweler.
Yes,
the Jeweler.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
The Kingmaker.
Yes, indeed. So before we went to break, we were discussing, you know, success. What it's like leaving home, having our resources, bringing it back. And one of the ways you both were able to bring it back was, and it's through your child, but just going out there, being involved in sports, coaching, you know, just showing up. I really would like to see, based off your comment, when you say you noticed that majority of the people at the games or practice are women, are the mothers, right?
Right.
I would really, really love to see a community call where, you know, people just invite the community, the men in the community, just show up.
Yeah.
Because we all know what it feels like when no one shows up to your games. And to your point earlier, Don, which it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, why the youth walk around the way that they do with the chip on their shoulder, because it's like, none of y'all did nothing for me. Right. Nobody is there for me. I don't owe y'all nothing, not even a conversation. Yeah. Right. It's extremely important. So I think we need to figure that out. However we can support and get some people out to these games, I say let's do it.
Yeah,
let's do sure. it.
Real talk. Yeah. Right. So right now, if you are a parent and you're looking to get your kids into sports or whatever, NCSL is a very good league to put your child into for football. And there's a multitude of other leagues, Pop Warner and things like that. But, yeah, put your kid in a sport, man. Like, especially if you a single parent,
yeah,
moms, yeah, get them out there, be a football mom, for real, and dad, y'all come out there, and y'all get to supporting these kids, man, because
my
it's really important.
My kids grew up in it.
I grew up in sports.
So. I'd love
to see us go back to the baseball.
Yeah, I love the baseball.
I play baseball.
Baseball is our sport.
Right.
We
shout out to Beckham.
And Bendell.
I played for with Devin Harris actually on the Braves when I was young.
I played at Northwest.
Mr. Beckham them down there.
I played at Northwest.
Yeah, I played at Beckham Stapleton, and it's one that's on Holden.
Yeah.
Holding it off. Locust. Yeah, yeah.
The pump station. Yeah.
I played on both. We need to bring all of it back.
All that, man. Warning, all that. Back in the day, it was like things for kids to do to keep from, you know what I mean? You know, kids going to be outside. It's summertime. Kids going to be outside or whatever, but when they out there and they ain't got nothing to do and they don't got no resources and now everything is about a dollar. So, I mean, it used to be like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be fine somewhere. It was a village. Yeah. Now it's not so much a village anymore.
You sparked a thought in my brain when you just said that, because I always say that it's not enough resources. But thinking about it, I think that there is. I think the issue is, and I'm going to have to place some of the accountability on the parents, not necessarily them not taking care of the children, but you have to be able to identify that something exists in your child and guide them in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what my mother saw, but I was in poetry, basketball, acting.
But guess what, Jazz?
Everything.
You ain't have a tablet they can stick in your
That's
head.
A fact.
iPhone, yeah. 19.
And you disappear for 4 hours.
So yeah.
Get out my face.
And I can go get you out of my face for 5 hours where I can go rant on the phone to my people, or I can go to a club or go just R&R and all, and just put this tablet in front of your face, and now you learning from influencers and Google,
and that's why they have no social skills,
and that's why they want, and that's why the thing is now when you ask all these kids what they want to do, they want to be influencers, and understand it's all about the culture and evolution and everything, but. I mean, come on now. Like,
you want to influence somebody?
You
to gotta. Do what?
You can't. What could you learn? What could you learn through that? Besides, you know, what I mean, how to actually work a phone or work a tablet?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You just said
skills doing
like,
what influence.
That,
what though?
You said influence what? Right. Most kids don't know that the most successful influencers influence you to do something.
That
right?
part.
They have skills.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they just want to influence. They just using the word because that's the word they use to describe that job.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, influence what? Like, okay, if you want to be an influencer, what are you here? What are you thinking you're going to influence 10 years from now?
Well, they want to be Mr. Beast, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Beast was special.
Mm-hmm. But you just influence us to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they want light.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what is it as in, if you were influenced, they got the word influencer kind of backwards to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I seen somebody doing what's a marathon? What they call it? Subathon? Whatever.
Yeah, a subathon, yeah.
And they just sitting there just doing normal everything. Like, I see them washing dishes, walking around, talking crazy. Yeah. They not even paying attention to every now and then they look over at the chat and talk their stuff to the chat or whatever.
Yeah.
But they just living a normal everyday life. What could you learn about just watching somebody normal everyday life, them just going through the motions of doing nothing?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
And you watching them not doing none of the stuff they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, they cleaning their house.
Yep.
You watching them, you ain't cleaning up nothing.
Yeah. All you looking at is the views and the amount of people that's coming.
Okay, I'm going to give you the psychological profile on that, right? So 85% of America is below the poverty line, right? So you're looking at somebody who's in a very nice house, with his cameras, he's got, he can do all of this stuff.
Yes.
And just watching him live is interesting because I can't even do that.
You can't even do that.
Yep.
Can't do that.
Yep.
Right? So that's what the kids are looking at.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank y'all so much for joining
us. Appreciate my boy.
We want to know. I got to give a shout out to my oldest daughter too. Today was her first day of college.
Hey.
She got a scholarship, man. Shout out to Kennedy.
Dope.
Ooh, I'm so
nervous.
So
you guys have, man, listen.
Give some more round of applause, Z. What a round of applause, Z.
I'm trying to tell you. I want to know what you guys have going on. How can our listeners follow you? And do you have any shout outs?
Me right now, I'm working on the album right now. OG 101.
Yeah.
Gotta let them know, you know what I mean? Or this perspective from a real OG and what that really looked like, you know what I mean? And really drop some jewels for like the youth or whatever. And I got a bunch of features from the youth, a lot of young artists on the album.
That's what's up.
And basically that, and the football still going. Dad out there with the football kids and everything like that. And shout out to my boy Don the Jeweler. He executive producing the whole project.
Yeah,
we've
been working.
I gotta get a beat
at the new studio.
Yeah,
let's
the new studio done.
Don't tell them what the studio at done.
Yes, 10K3 Studios is on 99th and Carmen. We're in the process of doing construction right now. Me and my team bought the building. I am very fortunate to be building a full multimedia studio.
Yes.
Studio A, Studio B, podcast studio, content room, 250 people live room with the stage. I'm really going all out. So
indeed.
Very proud of Don.
Shout out to Sody and Blackout Entertainment. Sody up there doing big things.
Can't forget
took the reins of everything, and she's been working real hard with a lot of artists. Y'all make sure y'all pay attention to what she's doing.
Yeah.
She really been working real hard with artists, and y'all need to tap in if y'all haven't.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Thank y'all so much for stopping through. Make sure y'all tap in with us Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Do not forget to like and subscribe on our YouTube channel. Happy Tuesday, Milwaukee. Y'all have a safe night. 101.7 The Truth.
Truth Nation.